Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Now, settle into the couch or lean back in the car seat.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
26 of the country's toughest competitors are about to go head-to-head in the toughest contest there is.
We have ourselves a contest.
This is Rugby League at its best.
Wow.
What about that?
Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Welcome back to it. And the Raiders and Dragons are on the field. 1 minute and 20 into the game. It's nil all. Raiders are wearing a royal blue jumper this week. So take your pick what your club will be wearing this year when they take the field. But Glen Willow Stadium in Mudgee is where they're playing, which is absolutely wonderful. Gordy Tallis, Paul Ken, and joining us for the final hour. Oh, well, not really. He just starts the big stint for the next 4 hours. Our old mate Ryan Girdler. Hello, Girds.
Hello, Maroon. How you doing?
Fantastic, mate. 2.5 weeks till Origin. You're pumped?
Yeah, looking forward to it. It was good to chat to Freddie yesterday. And, there's some players that'll be wearing New South Wales colours that are in some pretty good form, which is good. I don't see the reason behind all of a sudden, you know, this sudden urge for New South Wales to go in as favourites and Queensland to struggle, given the fact that I think Queensland will probably have 4 or 5 new players in their squad this year. New South Wales, I believe, will have probably about 10 or 11. So, you know, it's going to be a really inexperienced New South Wales side, but hopefully we take some guys in with good form and they can do the job. But I'm excited about it, yeah.
It's the perfect time, isn't it, Gerds, for Brad Fittler to regenerate New South Wales, given the turnover we've seen in Queensland, which is severe from the point of view of games they're going to lose,
yeah,
with Cameron, Cooper and Thurston all not being there from last year. But it's helpful for the Blues because it brings them in against a side that is not well into their groove as an Origin team. This Queensland team is going to have to, I suppose, discover their own style. It won't be what we saw last year. It won't be what we've seen the past dozen years. Mm. So they'll have to go and do that themselves. So it's a real opportunity here. If Brad Fittler can pick the right players who essentially, from the way I read it, you just want go-getters. You want guys that are going to go out and have got that mentality that they just don't give up on a play. They may not be the best player in their position. They may not be the most clever player. But if they're just full of running, then I think that's the side that'll get Queensland.
You know what I reckon he's, after talking to him a fair bit about it, I think he's excited about getting new guys in that don't necessarily, one, have the scars of previous series, but also they're a little bit bright-eyed. They're sort of, he gets them in the room, he gets them in a huddle in their first meeting, and he's got all these young, enthusiastic guys that have just been waiting so long for this opportunity. I think given the fact that, you know, New South Wales have, in the past, I guess, you know, we've picked some guys that have been there and done it so many times, you know, if you have
or not done it,
but been through this process, they know what to expect, and it's kind of not that exciting when you go back in for your 10th, 11th. I mean, it's still such an honour, but especially when you go in and you remember it, Gordy, when you go in for your first or second Origin, you just sit there, you're absorbed all, you're that excited, you don't know what to expect, and I really think that's what Freddie's looking forward to, just having all that fresh, young, inexperienced talent in there looking to him to take him forward.
Yeah.
You still need an old head there.
You got to get them. Tyson Frizzell will be there. Boyd Cordner will be there. Those sort of guys. You need to mix it up. But I think the majority of them are going to be new to the concept and super excited.
And you don't have guys that come in who the light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. The guys who have just been burned by the experience where they've come in. And because part of Origin preparation, you know, I don't need to tell you guys, but part of it's that build-up for the result. And when you are constantly flattened by the result, part of your natural human behaviour is to protect yourself against that so you don't get quite as high because you're wary of the letdown at the other end. If you put 100% into your preparation you're continually getting beaten, the smashing at the end of it is more severe. So part of
like falling in love, Paul. You don't go so hard, you know, if you know that there's a chance you're going to get burnt at the end of it.
Canberra 4-0, by the way.
Boys.
Nice analogy.
I should take that advice, Kurtz.
Canberra 4-0. Sorry to interrupt you, fellas, but Canberra 4-0 with five gone there.
We're sharing a moment. You're giving a
what
score
update. What are you
talking
update? About, Maroon? Look, yeah, there was just something going on.
Sorry, guys.
We nearly got to the bottom of the Squires Girdler relationship.
Oh, yes.
And you just ruined the mood.
Mate, if Squires sees you getting intimate with real cut, he's never been in a radio. He's never been to work on a Sunday, but he'll be here. If he sees you getting too close to Gerds, is that right, Gerds?
Oh, it depends if the Swans are playing. Are the Swans playing today?
Mate, all right, well, let's continue.
No,
with
the Dragons are. He's a Dragons man.
He's a Dragons man. He might have even driven up to Mudgee there to watch the game.
Loves his wine.
Hey, what about, we haven't really discussed the thing that everyone is talking about.
Well, that's an oversight then.
With Origin. Yeah, well, we'll get to it. Ryan, let me start with you. The 6-7 for New South Wales. What do you think, as a Penrith man, do you think just chuck the Penrith 6-7 in there?
Well, I thought they were pretty good the other night. I thought Nathan was exceptional, given, you know, his first game back in 7 weeks. I just think the sides that are having a lot of success this year really know who their general is. And I think, you know, you look at Parramatta and you look at North Queensland at the moment, I think sometimes when you've got two people that want their hands on the football in those crucial moments. Because if I'm a six or a seven and there's opportunity on the back of, you know, a good run or some broken field play, and that's my job, well, then I want the football. And you need one person that's going to step up and always get the football, and you need another one that's happy to run off that player. And I think that's what we need to see with Nathan and James now that they're sort of back together. We saw them the other night and they were pretty good, but we need to make sure going in to the Origin that they know their roles and they complement each other in that way, and there's not confusion over who's going to get the footy in those crucial stages of the game. And if they can work that out, they've only got 1 week to do it. But I think Queensland are going to go through that same thing at the moment. Like if it's Hunt and if it's Munster and they've got a new dummy half, they're going to have to work out, as PK was just talking about before, in the past in those situations, well, Cameron knew who to give the football to, and then Cooper knew what to do with it, and Billy knew where to be in those crucial stages of those moments in games. Whereas New South Wales, that's something that we're going to have to work out this year because we don't have a club combination or an experience combination going in, and that's something Queensland need to find as well. But back to your question, yeah, I think it, unless something dramatically changes this weekend, I was impressed with Luke Keary. I think he'd do a wonderful job as well. But between those three guys, I think we've got a decent halves pairing this year.
I was watching, I don't even know if I was listening to Triple M or watching Fox League, but I heard Matty Johns make a comment that he said this side needs to be picked as much on attitude as it does ability. Gordy, as a former Origin great, can you elaborate on what he might have meant by that?
Well, Origin is not about, well, it is about ability, but your attitude can get you everywhere you want. In Origin, you train all week, you have a couple of set plays. I don't think you use any of them because of the way the game is. Everybody's a front rower. The only way that I can explain Origin from what I remember is everybody's a front rower. You don't get the space, you don't get the time. Every hit's harder than what it's ever been. The biggest hit that you'll get on a Sunday afternoon playing club footy is the softest tackle you will get in an Origin arena. It's just, you just don't get the time, the space. I think Matthew Elliott summed it up the best. He said, players that come back after playing Origin, they drive their car at 200k down a highway, then they drive it at 80 and they just see, oh, God, that was a fish and chip shop. That was that. And they just see everything. They can see the game. I'm a lot better than what they do. So, and effort, I suppose, is someone like Shane Webke when he's first carrying the first 8 seconds of the game and he's carrying the 80th minute of the game is with the same intent. I think, you know, that they're the Origin players, the Paul Harrigans, you know, those guys that we just watched over the time, and every play that they wanted to do it at their absolute best. And I think that's what makes an Origin player.
I think too, what he was also talking about there is players like Tyson Frizzell, and if you remember,
Chasing Gay Guy,
and here's the second row chasing a winger. They went 95 meters. Tyson Frizzell had every option he's a winger. I'm not gonna catch him, so I won't chase. But he chased anyway, Tyson Frizzell, and he kept Gay Guy, if nothing else, he kept him scoring out near the sideline rather than under the post if nobody had chased. And I think New South Wales, and we see this particularly in the way they play, there's been a habit within the New South Wales team that once the ball has gone past them in the defensive line, they clock off and almost get set for the next play. And one of the things that we are continually told about Origin is that you've always got to be alive in the game. And so once the ball passes, you've got to continue to defend from the inside out. And the Blues haven't been very good at that. And that's because they've had the wrong mentality of some of the players in those positions, whereby they haven't got the mindset that even though I, in club football, could probably just start to get back in the 10 metres now and get back in my line, it's Origin, so I need to stay alive and I need to stay in the game here and I need to push up and all that. And New South Wales have picked players who, those little one percenters, they call them, haven't been very good at that.
Mm.
And I think that's where we need, and I think that's what, more than anything, I think that's where Brad Fittler's looking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ryan, there was a story in the telly today about the players doing yoga. And I raised this with Kenty and Hoops and Gordy, but they've never done yoga. You're a yoga guy. Do you think Freddie's boys can benefit from yoga?
Look, I read the article as well, and I think Freddie's not going to force anything on anyone.
No,
he's just going to give people's opportunities to do things. I don't look how the Warriors have responded to their techniques this year. I mean, it's really worked for them. I mean, if Freddie can see some benefits in it at that level, well, good on him. And if players want to get in and give it a go, and it helps their preparation. There's a lot of pressure in Origin, and if you can take some time out and just, you know, make sure you're in the right headspace and that does it for you, yeah, get into it.
Okay. Boys, we might take a song. We'll come back. There's plenty to talk about. But right now, Canberra 4, Dragons 0. 11 minutes gone. That score is all thanks to Tyre Power. And you get $100 cash card at Tyre Power when you buy 4 selected Continental passenger or 4x4 tyres. Sunday, Triple M, Ryan Girdler, Kenty, Gordy Tallis and Maroon will be back with more as Triple M rocks the footy. Sunday Triple M NRL right across the Triple M network. 4 o'clock game this afternoon will be the Doggies and the Sharks, and the boys will talk about that game a little later on. Dan Ganame will call that game for you this afternoon. Should be a cracking good game. But right now, and I just quickly, by the way, Freddie Fittler was on Saturday NRL yesterday. A wonderful interview and so much good feedback about that interview. We're going to dig that out and play that again before 3 for all those people who have phoned in and emailed us to ask for us. If you missed that, we will replay that for you again this afternoon. Now, refereeing has got you fired up a little bit. We should have done the Raging Rhino here, Ryan Girdler, because the referees have got you fired up. We were both at that game on Thursday night in Penrith Stadium, and the Tigers were beaten by Penrith 16-2. But the game was so stop-start in the first 20 minutes before, because of all the penalties that the referee was giving. Ben Cummins was the referee on the night. Can you please explain to our listeners what you thought? If you could leave the expletives out, that would also be quite good.
Oh, look, Maroon, I'm not here to bash up the referees.
No, I know.
I'm absolutely
not. But you love the game.
I think... along with a lot of other people that are involved in the game at a level that in which we are, that watch a lot of footy each week, it started just getting a little bit hard to sit down and digest what's going on. And we saw it again with some of the decisions last night in the Manly Melbourne game and the consistency in the calls on the Brisbane Broncos, on the Roosters, which was an absolute belter of a game. And then, yeah, look, I said it yesterday, 15,000 people turned up at Penrith Park in the cold, you know, to watch their side go around against the Tigers, and there was 45 stoppages in that game, you know. And I just think, I think it's just unnecessary, Sarah, at the moment. I think they need to take control back of the middle, the referees, because I think at the moment, the players are taking the absolute piss. We've seen 3 guys at dummy half this week just stand up and throw the ball basically at the ground and get the penalty.
Yeah.
Seriously, we see guys get sent to the sin bin for 10 minutes and they take the long route. I mean, if back in the day, and we always go back to Billy, I know, because he was the best, but if I was walking off after I got 10 minutes in the bin and carrying on like that, Billy would have run up next to me and said, you know what, why don't you just stay off, you know, and show a little bit of authority, some intestinal fortitude, as he says. And if someone threw the ball into a play laying on the ground in front of Billy, he'd penalise you and say, mate, you're an idiot. You know, we just need some referees out there. They're just lacking confidence. They don't want to make decisions. And the players at the moment are winning the battle.
Why are they lacking confidence?
Well, I have absolutely no idea.
Because they're not making the right call. That's why. They're taking the soft option all the time. Last night, the other night when it was the Broncos game where they threw it into That was one of the dummy
Milford
half ones.
Threw it into
Milford,
almost the referee.
And the Parramatta game.
The Parramatta game, Will Smith stood up and threw it at the ground at Isaac Luke.
And Isaac Luke was laying on the referee both times should have called knock on against the attacking side, called a scrum and given it to the defenders. That's
Friend did it as well to back to the Broncos later in the game.
Okay, that's what's got to happen there. Yeah, the NRL's got to sit down and say to the coaches, get
But isn't
players
that a black and white area?
Well, Gordon, not necessarily because the players.
I know what they did because the players were laying in a ruck.
Yeah, but the player. No, in some ways they weren't. In the, I think it was in the Parramatta game. The player was actually behind the ruck.
Yeah,
he was behind the player.
I know he was directly behind Milford.
If Milford had missed, I think it was.
It was either Napa or someone, and it would have gone over the dead ball line. What about,
there was the one where Seguiaro went to throw it at the Canberra player and threw it straight over the sideline.
Yeah, that
happened
last week.
But the point of it is, look, this is where the players are playing the referees, and the referees need to show a little bit of courage. And because the referees are, well, this is the rule, we'll do it this way, the referee, if they'd done what Gerds had said, Billy would do, and just say, yeah, you're having a laugh here, mate, that's a scrum, I'm going to give the feed to them. It would stop it immediately.
Immediately.
Immediately. That's all that's got to happen. Players walking off the field, this is what, the send-off, turn the 10 minutes into a send-off. That would be extreme. But again, another option, this would require rule change, but you give them 15 seconds to get off the field, and for every second over that, providing that the NRL can keep time properly, for every second over that, you add that to their 10 minutes.
But wouldn't you love to see a referee saddle up next to one of those guys walking off and say, hey, buddy, if you don't get a move on,
you
can stay off. He doesn't have to do it. They just need to show some authority.
Yeah,
I
agree with that. And see, we've got to get into this. The whole penalising, I think we're almost at the time now where coaches, because of their nature, okay, when we get penalties inside your 10-metre zone and the conceding penalties there, coaches know they're getting two warnings before they get a sin bin. So they're saying to their players, you've got two free shots. Get rid of the warnings. Say that the referee, when he calls them in before the game and speaks to the captains at the coin toss, he says, no warnings today, boys. First penalty, if I deem it's a professional foul, it's straight into the sin bin. There won't be a warning. It's straight into the sin bin.
Yeah, you don't give your kids that many warnings.
Well, that's the point, Gordon. But see, coaches are saying to their players, we've got two warnings, so let's do it twice when we need it, and then third one, we'll be careful. And they also know, and I saw this change over the weekend, they also know that if you have two warnings and then behave, and then say the next half, you do it again, you get another two warnings. But over the weekend, they went straight into the sin bin. So I can't remember the game right now, but they put the and it was
like, it the South game?
Yeah, without the warning, it was just you're gone.
It
was Dylan Walker?
Yeah.
Cody Walker.
Yeah. But see, and I think that's good. And I think the players are smart enough and they're coached enough that the coach can say, guys, from now on we can't do it because the referee doesn't give us a warning. And if he deems us a professional foul because we've deliberately held him down, we're going to the bin. The game has got the referees have got to get back the game.
Yeah.
And it's got to cause some pain. They've tried to cause some pain, but this is the irony, and this is what the referees are up against. The referees came out and they knew every team's deliberately conceding penalties in their own 10 metres. They said, we're going to get rid of that. So they started to do the right thing by the players, warning, okay, now you're in the sin bin. So the coaches, rather than saying cop the tip and say, let's get it right, they say, boys, we got two warnings.
Yeah.
So do it twice and then be careful the third time. So the coach, they're forcing the referees now that have got to go to the next step, but the referees have got to do it because the coaches are directing the players. And I would love someone from the NRL who's got a CEO's name next to their title say, come on, guys, let's start getting the game back for the fans and remember why you're playing it rather than sitting here and abusing the rules the way you are. We need some leadership.
And that's gone back for that long. They got to, if Todd's running the game, go to the clubs, this is it. This is it. Because at the end, it's a product. And more importantly, with the players, they wanted to buy in, right? So they got a really big slice of the pie buying into the product. How is the product now if we had to sell it? That's what they got to do. And they're doing it.
They've got their 29% buy-in of the game, and they're making the product worse.
And we were talking about it earlier, Gerge, you went here. But every time you're offside, it's deliberate. For you not getting onside and moving up, it's deliberate. You know that. So every time a player... And poor Jakey Granville the other night, but I'm glad the referee made that decision and it was the right decision.
It was the right call.
And Paul Green didn't blow up about it and see us and then they knew. But hopefully now, when someone's going for a field goal, these guys can't get onside normally, but the markers are split. They race out, you know, they're offside and they get some, in some case, they get 25 metres.
The game's never been black and white. And I think some of these goal line penalties that we're seeing are never going to change, because if you're a player and you're a smaller guy and you're defending your own line and you're trying to tackle a bigger man and he sort of half gets through you and then you need to just sort of you end up around his legs, but you got to hold on that half a second longer, otherwise the dummy half picks the football up and just walks over and scores a try. Yeah. You can never change that.
No.
The referees at some point need to have a little bit of empathy for the game. Yeah. If it's a certain speed that they want to play the ball.
He doesn't get back to marker, does he? So like you're talking about when he's on the legs and he holds on a little bit longer, but he can't get back to marker, or he hangs on, somebody else comes on until he gets up and gets the marker.
It's hard to have empathy for the game when you know the coaches are telling the players to do it.
But that's instinctive, PK. Players aren't going to change that. Referees need to have some empathy and some feel for the game. You can roll off a guy. If you've kick-chased and you've made a tackle, but you don't get a good shot on and you need to roll off and they run 15 metres, okay, I get that. You've got to do that. But down on your line, if you feel that you just roll off this guy, he plays the football and the dummy half picks it up and scores, you're never going to let him go. Yeah. But you can't penalise every time that happens.
And it's more importantly, mate,
I don't think that.
It's even when they get tired. Do you know what? The sports science has taken over the game. It's simple as that. We've got to get it back with the interchange and we've got to get it back. When Brisbane got tired the other night.
Well, the coaches don't want the interchange, so the NRL's come out and said, oh, we're going to take a couple of years and we're going to cut down the time wasting in the game before we look at the interchange. Why they can't do it together is beyond me.
I thought that's what they've been doing for the last 2 years.
But that's what they're trying to the NRL came out after the Rules Committee said the other day that rather than they'll look at the interchange in another 18 months to 2 years, because the priority is to cut down on all the time wasting, which is the stuff we've just spoken about players walking off in the sin bin, you boil your kettle while you're waiting for a scrum to pack, you roll your smokes while you're waiting for them to take a penalty goal. All this sort of time, why can't you do it all at once? What is the difficulty when you are full-time athletes earning the best part of $500,000 a year? Why can't you be coached to do it all at once?
Never
been. Why won't the game enforce it? Like, I just don't know why the game will not enforce these sorts of rules, which improve the product. And we're all about the product. That's our priority in this game, which is always our priority in this game.
Paul, it's about the impact. It's about the safety.
It's player safety.
You know what? Yeah, but the bad luck, it's a contact game. Yeah, you can't talk about that when they're charging into each other because they've had so much rest. Mm. If it's about player safety, get fatigued, bring down
ball
the level.
Play.
Bring down the level of contact. Bring down the speed of the game slightly because players have got fatigue. Yeah, there's this myth around that fatigue leads to injuries. It's not the fatigue. It's the fit players. It's the fresh players because the impacts are greater. Mm. They're more severe. There's more G-forces generated.
Absolutely. Jonathan Thurston or any halfback's got to play 80 minutes and steer his side around.
Yeah. Where's his
player
welfare?
I could play
welfare.
65 minutes against him and somebody else comes on and plays.
And but Gordon, that exposes the myth that we're all about player welfare, because the players you need on the field, the Jonathan Thurstons, Cameron Smiths, the smaller
skillful
guys,
absolutely,
and the skillful, they play 80 minutes. The guys whose welfare we're concerned about are all 110 kilos and need a break after 25 minutes.
Stop going to KFC. Dare I say it. That's the bunker. No, you've got to go to KFC.
Sunday Triple M NRL. It's thanks to Ream. Raiders 8, Dragons 6. Raiders with a kick to come. Here comes the kick, and it's a goal. So Raiders 10, Dragons 6. We've got some news from the judiciary on Curtis Scott and Abby Corrissau. We'll take a break. We'll come back with that, and we'll have the Raging Bull as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the footy. Here live and loud.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. For Tyre Power, Canberra 10 lead the Dragons 6. With 12 minutes left in that first half of that game, it's not too late to join the Triple M NRL footy tipping comp as well. Just sign up and get the Triple M app. You've got to have the Triple M NRL app and everything will be sweet. And it's also thanks to our mates at 4 and 20 Pie Time. Any time is a good time for 4 and 20 Pie. In fact, the boys and I had one for lunch today, and it had the craft beer in it, and it was absolutely beautiful because Gordy normally cracks open a long neck and tips that all over his beer. He doesn't have to do that anymore.
Mm.
Boys, judiciary, this just in. Curtis Scott will miss 2 weeks with the early guilty plea for grade 3 striking. Curtis Scott set to miss 2 weeks. Appy Corrissau will take the early guilty plea and miss 1 week. Once more, Canberra 10, Dragon 6. Time for a little thing we like to call out for blood. Before the Holden State of Origin Championship is decided on the field, New South Wales and Queensland are battling it out at Red Cross blood donation centres to determine which state has the bigger heart. And if you want to help out, nrl.com/donateblood. Last week, Gordy told a great story about Michael Devia. And this week, Ryan Girdley, you are a New South Wales Origin legend. Tell me somebody who bled for their state.
Well, I'll never forget Benny Elias in 92 game one, where New South Wales won 14-6. And I think Benny got man of the match that day, and he was walking off at the end of the game. I think he spent some time in the blood bin, but he was walking off at the end of the game. And I don't think anyone will be able to forget the sight of Benny and his mother covered in blood there, and 10 stitches he needed at the end of that. They went on to win the series 2-1 that year.
Yeah.
New South Wales, they were the good old days. But Benny Elias, I think that's forever in Origin folklore, that moment with Benny, blood smeared all over his face. And he was brilliant to watch at Origin level, Benny. Yeah. He was a fantastic competitor for New South Wales. I've done a fair bit of stuff with Benny over the years since, and getting up and speaking to Benny about Origin, and he goes on a few tours up there in Queensland. The Queenslanders love giving it to Benny that time of year, but yeah, that was a good moment there.
He's a wonderful character. I used to love watching.
Oh, you said W. I thought it was going to be something else.
No, I mean, Benny and Blocker and Ciro versus Mario and Bundy and Ian Roberts and David Boyle are great characters of the game, and great to see Benny kick on in the business world as well, hasn't he? He's really kicked on. So good to see you bring him in for our Out for Blood thing. If you want to help out,
He's probably one of the most hated New South Wales people ever.
Well, I love him.
They're probably right on at Lang Park. I just remember.
Not there, he wasn't.
Nothing. No one, because you know how Wally used to get Wally's wanker here or whatever. I think there was Benny, probably Paul Gallen. Gus.
Would you think of anything for Benny? Like we had Wally's a wanker, which was quite genius, but did you guys have anything for Benny? Or
Backdoor Benny.
Backdoor Benny.
Why was it that?
Don't know, but that's what they used to call him. Don't know. I don't know, but I was too young. But when I played Origin, all I knew was it was my first ever run in State of Origin was in Melbourne in June 6, 1994, and I saw Benny Elias, and I thought, God, I've got to hate this guy because Queensland hated him, and he's come out.
I'm glad you call him Benny Elias then.
No, I run at him. And then obviously then when he got the ball, he came out from dummy half, thought, I'm going to kill him here. And then, you know, like you aim for the sponsors type of thing. But in Origin, they didn't have sponsors on the front back then. So I aimed, you know, just underneath the chest. Well, he ducked underneath me and I slid on the cricket pitch for about 15 metres. It was like one of Shane Warne's flippers. But he was just one of those classy little players, Benny.
I'm still getting off the floor.
Good on you, Benny. We love you, mate. Even if Gordy hates you, we love you.
No.
You used to hate him.
Mate, I like Benny. I did an Origin trip with Benny and Ciro. It was my probably favourite 4 days of my life.
Really? That good?
No, just with Ciro.
nrl.com/donateblood and get the Blues across the line. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you just absolutely loved his wedding, royal wedding review. So now we'll bring back Gordon Tallis. It's time for this. Okay, this is where we let the Raging Bull out of the pen, off the chain, and we just let him go. Burko, the Raging Bull, what are you raging about today on Triple M as we rock the footy?
Well, we've been a little bit negative today, obviously, because there's been a lot happening in the game, and that's our job. But I'm going to be positive on someone by the name of Cameron Smith to play 42 games. And I've, you know, heard a lot, and I think on 360, Paul, one of your shows, Josh Reynolds said, I think, you know, he saw the writing on the wall on this good New South Wales side coming through. So everybody's got an opinion about Cameron Smith. But the opinion should be is what we had, not what we don't have. And he's played 42 games, came in 2003, has played every Origin except for one I think he was suspended or injured or whatever, and Matty Ballon came in and took his role. But to play 42 Origins the way he did, I think it was over 50-odd games for his country. You know, when he walked on, people asked me, what about Cameron? And it was just like the skinny little hairy kid. And the game before, we had Michael Crocker playing in at hooker because we were trying to fill a role, and then we picked a 20-year-old kid that was playing at the Melbourne Storm, and I don't know whether he'd played over 30 games, but to step into the Origin Arena, and Darren Lockyer was the kicker, but he was a reluctant.
I think he played 18 NRL games at that point.
18 NRL play games, and he was a reluctant goal kicker, Lockie, and it's not something that he always wanted to do. And then Cameron Smith just put his hand up in the team meeting room, and he goes, Matt, I'll do it. Like, this is a guy not only playing his first Origin, but to be goal kicker as well. I think there's a fair bit of pressure, guys. I've never kicked an Origin. I've kicked in an NRL game, but not in an Origin. I couldn't imagine the pressure. So, yes. And then the final captain's run walked over just to go, g'day, mate. You know, the game's on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Let's go get a good feed and don't think about it, mate. You know, the bus will be there. But, you know, there's enough time. Wake up and don't think of the game until you get to the ground, I'd say. And then I walked away, and I was just trying to pass on a little bit and have a bit of a joke, but I walked away from that 10 or 15-minute conversation we were all sitting around with more confidence because of the way that he was acting. And then no one in hindsight saw that Cameron Smith was going to be this sort of player and play 42 Origins, because I would have laughed at you. Like, I would have said 20 or whatever, because that's the way, yeah, that's it. Most people played around 20. Mm. Then, unless you were Wally Lawson or Mel Meninga. Mm. But for him to play as many as what he's did, and you looked at Melbourne Storm last night without Cameron Smith.
So, Gordon, why did he retire now? The whole thing, everyone gets he's retired, but why only 2 weeks out from the team being picked?
I think the standards probably he sets for himself, and it's only a question for Cameron. I just hope that he doesn't have any regrets, Paul. I walked away from my last year of Origin. I retired in 2003. In 2004, I wanted to give back a bit to the Broncos. And there's not a day goes by where I should have run out for Queensland three more times and being proven that I wasn't good enough to play Origin. And every time Origin comes around now, and Gerd, you'd be in the same boat, there's not a game that you want to play more than when the New South Wales or Queensland boys run out. If you're an ex-Blue, mate, you want to play. Actually, the four and a half million Queenslanders that have never played it actually would love to go out there and get a chance to represent Queensland. So I just hope he doesn't have that. But he's ticked every box. Maybe there's something deep down within him that's thinking, I don't want to let the state down. I don't think he would. Me personally, looking
he's
at Cameron Smith,
the state down. He's still at the top of his game, so he's not.
If anything else, he's letting the state down by not playing.
Yeah, so I think he has let the state down by not playing, given that Thurston and Cronk won't be there.
You guys got a conspiracy theory here? Is there a bit of a conspiracy?
But doesn't
he have
a right to retire whenever he wants?
Yeah, he does. He came out, apparently he woke up after the Gold Coast game and thought, I can't put myself through this. He spoke at his press conference. He said that last year was the first time after Origin he could not back up. But that was nearly 12 months ago. So he's had he knew that back then, that he was struggling to back up for his club after. He then went and played a World Cup at the end of it, which also took its energy. He had a shortened preseason, and then he's played 10 rounds this year already, okay? If he's played 10 rounds, you reckon you'd know after four or five rounds.
Do you think he was trying to convince himself that he could do it? Do you think he was wanted to leave it as long as possible?
Yeah, it is a possibility. But he has left it late. And my point is, he's left it to the point where Kevy was well into his planning about how he is going to rebuild the side or begin rebuilding the side after the retirements of Thurston and Cronk. But he wouldn't have anticipated that he was also going to have to come up with someone for Smith. And the fact that there's not an obvious replacement, okay? Some are arguing Ben Hunt. Some are arguing Andrew McCulloch. Some are saying Jake Granville would be. The fact
there's
is
no
not
one,
a,
there's no one nipping at his
there's
heels.
There's no one nipping at his heels who's due, who's ready, who's just waiting for Cameron to get out of the way to take the spot. So that puts Queensland in a further hole. So I find the whole timing of it fascinating.
Do you think that we all, at the end of the day, we get judged on premierships? Do you think that it's harder now with the Melbourne Storm without Cooper? Do you think that's his legacy? He might want to win one more title.
They're the reigning premiers, Gordon.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I don't agree, because they're the reigning. If they're coming, if they hadn't won a premiership for 10 years and they had a side that's sitting fourth or fifth and looking at hopefully a chance this year, I'd say you might be right. But they're the reigning premiers, and they're a side that's well and truly in the top four.
One of the things I've sort of found hard to understand was the fact that this guy who has given so much to country and state didn't give himself the deserved send off not just he deserved, I think the state deserved. I mean, the fans, they would have loved. I mean, imagine the theatre this year if it was 1-1 and all of a sudden he comes out at the start of the third week and says, this is going to be my last Origin, it's at home. What does that create and what opportunity is that for the fans and for the players?
You know what? It'll be 1-1 this year.
Come back.
Game 3.
Oh.
Bring back Thurston.
Wow.
Bring back Thurston.
Oh, you reckon Thurston will come back?
Cowboys won't be in finals contention. He won't get the farewell this in his last season. Mm. We all thought he was going to get. I don't think they'll make the finals now. I think.
Have you intercepted some of our pigeons up there?
I think that's how you communicate. I know that.
Yeah. Safest way to do it, they reckon.
They don't use pigeons, they speak pigeons.
This is one of your little Queensland conspiracy theories, but it makes sense because by the time Origin 3 comes around, we'll be at round 17. It might be mathematical by that stage that the Cowboys are out of contention. So they won't have the finals farewell. Jono's only got 8 more games left in the NRL. And it might be, say, you know.
All three
what?
Of them come back?
The Beatles are back together.
What about that? Right? The Blues Brothers.
You can't get the Beatles back together. But let's take a break.
Not with
here,
another
boys.
Couple of bullets anyway.
Anyway. I didn't hear what he said. What did
he said? You can't get the Beatles back together. Well, maybe if you had another couple of bullets. It's just a joke. Canberra 10, Dragons 8, 2 minutes till halftime. Lots and lots of feedback about Freddie Fittler's interview yesterday with Saturday NRL. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and replay it for you. It's Triple M Rocks the Footy.
You've never heard the footy like this. Triple M. Triple M Footy.
And there's an NRL match happening right now in Mudgee, and I think the Dragons have just kicked a goal right on half-time. Dragons Raiders 10-10 at half-time. That score is all thanks to Tyre Power. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler and Maroon. Lots and lots of great feedback about this interview. The boys did such a wonderful job with Freddie Fittler yesterday, the Blues coach. So if you missed it, here is Freddie Fittler on Triple M.
Brad Fittler, g'day.
G'day.
Jimmy Maloney in the lead-up to that game Thursday night this week. There was a lot of talk about the fact that he's not going to be an automatic selection for the Blues. I think a lot of people had his name in pen, but there's some areas of his game that you'd still like to see him sharpen up, Freddie, or where's it at?
Well, I saw the stats in the paper today, and he opened the paper on the way home, and the missed tackles, and I think Queensland have caught him out before in his defence, and I think a couple of times this year in games that he's been caught out as well. Now, he's a fantastic player, and he's always considered Jimmy, and I think, but everyone needs to improve, especially if statistics are showing that you're missing more tackles than anyone else in the game. So, but without a doubt, watching what he does with the ball, he just seems to have this, this confidence where he just seems like he's never beaten. So I don't think any team could, wouldn't want that in their side.
What about another bloke who plays in the same position as him and looked very strong last night, Luke Keary for the Sydney Roosters? What did you make of his game against the Broncos?
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. I thought, especially as a 5'8", that supporting role he does so well. He was a bit unlucky the time Cooper Cronk went through. He got, I think Matt Lodge. Yeah, someone got a bit of a hold of him. I thought that was 2-on-1 with a fullback as well, and I would have backed him to beat maybe one of the wingers to the line. So, but he was dudded there a little bit. But his game was sound, And the big thing is that he does really well is defence. I think he stands up to all the big guys, and he bent a couple over yesterday. I thought his defence was strong. It wasn't when you're a little bloke, you sort of, and you've got 110-kilo fellows that can sidestep running at you. Like, if you can get away with coming off without being HIA'd and tries been run over the top here, you've had a good game. I thought he did better than that last night.
And Bradley, obviously, accommodation's a key when you move on to the next level, and that's exactly what Origin is. And you could have a goal like, Keary there, and on his outside, there's talk about Latrell Mitchell putting his name in the bracket, and there's also on his inside a guy called Borg Cordner that'll probably lead the Blues around. So does that come into consideration?
Yeah, it's funny, Gertz. We did a study at the start of the year, and there's a big thing on, there's a chain of thought going around about combinations and how successful it is in sport, and they put numbers to it, actually, now. It's it was quite interesting, and it sort of gets you thinking about combinations. And, you know, the luxury Queensland have had is the fact they normally get picked out of a couple of teams, and those teams have been great clubs, really. Brisbane, Melbourne and the Cowboys, you know, really well-financed, organised, you know, good management. So it's been a real blessing for Queensland, and, you know, that's, they're mostly going to get tested this year, although a lot of their players would have played together. But when you take away those key blokes who are, you know, the real, the nuts and bolts of that combination, then it's going to be different for them. But you're right, guys. I think any time you can get combos where they're familiar with each other, just, you know, hearing the sound of the voice, you know, it's going to arouse something. So under pressure, it does help.
Latrell Mitchell, you mentioned there, Gerds, and of course on the other side last night, James Roberts, that was just brilliant to watch those two going at it, and they would suit well, wouldn't they, on opposite sides of the field?
Yeah, good with it. You know, it's funny, you know, when you think about a catch-22 situation, both players pretty much scored two tries and let in two. It was amazing, you know, and like, when I look at Jimmy's effort when he skirted him on the outside, I think, well, I'm not sure who would have caught him there. And then Latrell's efforts were absolutely brilliant, you know, just finding space and then using his strength and all that. So, you know, just two really highly talented young fellas, and obviously still, learning, you know, learning the game and working with people, because I think both got caught out just overthinking the other player. I think, you know, the both times Jimmy, well, he scored, set up the one off the scrum. I think Latrell was just panicking. I better get up here, and instead of communicating with people around him. And, you know, they're the things you've got to learn, just under stress, just working together. And, you know, they're the things that are going to get caught out in Origin. So, you know, hopefully it was a great game for them to learn something. So I look at the video and know what was going through their head. But I thought everyone at the ground was just thankful for being there, you know, seeing both those blokes in full flight at different stages. It made for a cracking night.
Well, Fred, I can understand why New South Wales are favourites now. You've got, honestly, you've got James Roberts. You've got James Roberts, Latrell Mitchell and Josh Adokar. Mate, you must be impressed with the way that Josh Adokar has come along in the last 12, 18 months.
Mate, none of them have played a game, Wendell.
But that strike power, that strike power and the form that you guys have, mate, you're going to be tough to beat.
I love it. I've got to say, watching Josh Adokar, and there's been some games where I reckon people walk away and just say, well, you know what? I saw him in full flight, and, you know, he hasn't let a lot of crowds down, really, Josh Adokar. And also, you know, when you're talking both sides of the field, and I really, you know, respect of what he's doing in defence. He's worked out, I think, how to use his speed as his weapon in defence.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that's something that doesn't come easy, to back your speed and not to panic. And he seems to be doing that really well. So, but, you know, he's obviously, you know, unless we pick Curtis Scott, he's, you know, going to come in and have a new combination. So, if he plays.
Queensland is not going to be a harder nut to crack without Cam Smith than they were with him. Is that true to say?
I'm only going off instinct. I was sitting in Melbourne when I got told, next to Craig Bellamy, and he told us the news. My first reaction was, oh, no. You know, I've been thinking a long time, how am I going to counter Cam Smith and what he brings to the team? And, you know, sometimes the devil you know is better than the one you don't. I'm not saying it would have been any easier or harder, but I think the challenge got harder in my eyes because, you know, gives all those Queenslanders a chance to say, oh, yeah, here we go. We're going through a huge change when they're going to have about two new players and we're going to have about 10. So somehow we'll be $1.50 favourites, I'd say. And, you know.
Yeah. Melbourne's closer to
the game of winning the money. Like, you know, that's just state of origin. Let's just give them everything.
And Melbourne is closer to Sydney than Brisbane, so I can understand that. That's why, you know.
Hey, Freddie, what about where do things sit in relation to a player like Andrew Fifita? He's one of the form players of the competition at the moment. He came out and declared that, you know, Tonga was going to be his first preference. And then now we've learned that under the rules, he is available for New South Wales for game one and game three if you decided to go down that road. Where do things sit in relation to Andrew Fifita?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. At the start of the season, I was very adamant that if he wanted to play for Tonga in game two, I understand that he wouldn't be able to play Origin, and it didn't sit well with me. I still feel pretty strongly about the decision he made, but I'm going to give it another week. It's something I've learned from the start of this whole process is things change really quickly. I do got to appreciate, like, a lot of, there's been so much talk about Origin and the players that I think the club coaches are handling it pretty well, because I know it can be a distraction, and But the one thing we do ask is, you know, if they keep aiming up for their club, then we're gonna look at them and hopefully give them a chance to play Origin. So it's the same mentality of being good for your club will work, being good for your state.
Brad, it's so good to talk to you. I really look forward to have a chat across the Origin series as well. Thanks so much, mate.
Good on you, fellas. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, there it is from yesterday. Freddie Fittler speaking to Saturday Triple M NRL. 10-all at halftime, Raiders-Dragons in Mudgee. Gordy, tell us, have a great call this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Anthony.
Paul, we'll catch you on NRL 360 with Benny Eichen.
Thanks, Anthony.
And I'll be in the shop tomorrow morning for coffee.
I look forward to it, Maroon. Have a fantastic afternoon, and it's been great working with you as always.
Thank you very much. I'll hand you over to Dan Ganane as Triple M rocks the footy.